I mean, think about these churches back way back then. I mean, they didn't have all the hoopla stuff that people believe they need today to have a church.
Right.
I mean, it was just the simplicity of, we just start, it's short, so let's just read, and we won't go to chapter 2. We'll stay in chapter 1. Y'all caught that, huh? All right. He says, the elder, which is John, he's given some encouragement to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health. Now notice the qualification though. How did he qualify it? Just as, old King James used the word according, that is in line with, just as your soul prospers. He said, we don't want to get this out of balance. If your soul's not prospering, there's a problem there. We want your soul to prosper. And as a result of that, along with your soul, that you would prosper in everything else you do. And you will also be in good health, just as your soul prospers. So in proportion to the growth of your inner man, we pray that everything around you grows with it.
Amen.
In our society, it's not as much about us growing from within. It's about growing on the outside. That everything else is okay. Spiritual things comes last. Are you with me? That's the last thing. Make sure you get a good education. Make sure you get a good job. Make sure you're eating right, exercise, and all that. And if you have time, go ahead and get involved in a church somewhere. And that, I mean, that's the...
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all ever pay attention, but anytime I usually talk about, which I don't talk about it in a sense, I don't try to just knock people upside the head on it, but some of y'all read and follow some of the stuff that I share. Anytime we talk about being part of a local assembly, being part of a fellowship, growing in grace, people are extremely silent and quiet.
Oh, yeah.
You give them anything fleshly that feeds their natural man, they jump on it like gravy on rice, you know, like a duck does water.
Yeah.
They will, they do. But when you do say anything about you can't operate independent of an assembly of God's people and flourish in the things of God without being connected to the body of Christ, man, they want to push that away. Why? Because they don't have that mindset. Their mindset is, I do this my way, you do it your way. If it's good for you, good, let me do my thing. Me and Jesus got my own thing going. You know what I mean? And that is not accurate. That is not kingdom-minded living. So we see John helps me when he says that about just as your soul prospers, that you prosper in everything else. And this is no different than what we started out in the book of Joshua. Remember he told Joshua? He says, meditate. Meditate on the law of the Lord, that you may observe to do what the law of the Lord says. And when you do everything else that you do, you'll have good success.
Yeah.
You'll prosper. Soon as they fail to meditate and do what God says, what happens? God says, I stand against you and you're not prospering. You're not going to be able to take Ai because you've gotten outside of what I've assigned you to do. You have no authority to operate out there. And I'm not going to bless it. Get back to simply what I told you. No different than the book of Revelation with the church at Ephesus. He says, hey, you're rock solid in doctrine and everything you're doing, but everybody knows you as being against things, and nobody knows you as being in love with me. You've left your first love. And that's not going to fly. Why? Because you're not meditating to keep, to find your way successful in reconciling a lost world to me. You're more concerned about being right than reaching people for me.
Amen.
And that you get in danger with that. No different than what Psalm 1 says. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. His leaves do not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. Are you with me? God doesn't change. Revelation said, he who was, he who is, and he who is to come. He's unchanging, and his ways are unchanging.
Come on.
And John is reaffirming that to us. That's why he says in verse 3, for I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is what? In you, just as you walk in the truth. Not that you got big groups and you're taking big trips with your church and you're doing all the, you got a big band and you got all the lights, and I mean you can put the lights down and it's dark in the sanctuary. Are you with me? None of that can be found and won't be found in the Word. It's always the fact that you what? You love the Lord, you walked in His truth, you loved His people, and you supported gospel missionary work.
Amen.
He said, I rejoiced greatly when they came and I heard that the truth was in you. Verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that you had a big band and you had a big crowd, but that what? You walked in the truth. And this is Spirit-inspired word, right?
Amen.
I have no greater joy than to hear that my children, and when he says children, of course that would include biological children, but that also includes those that God had assigned to him, those that were following this leadership, these spiritual children walk in the truth. He says in verse 5, beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you would do well. Because they went forth for His name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers of the what?
Truth.
Truth. Not being popular, not being politically correct, but that you walk in the truth. They supported the message, they supported the messengers, and they supported the mission. And when he says they took nothing from the Gentiles, that you've heard me, we've talked about this before. Me and Bill have talked about it, talking about fundraisers and stuff. There's nothing wrong necessarily with a fundraiser. But there's nothing more aggravating to me is when people are standing outside Walmart and they're standing outside these places and they come into your house knocking door to door, we going on a mission trip, can you give us money to go? That bothers me.
Come on.
And that's what he just said. Brethren, these men left what they had to go on the journey and didn't ask none of the world, the Gentiles, for any help. Who was going to help them? The brethren were going to help them. And when you bring them in, you love on them and send them on their way with things they need, you are a fellow laborer in the truth. There's reward in that. God bless it. Amen? These are a lot of the reasons why it goes against my conscience and my spirit to do those types of things, to plead and keep begging people for money. I believe God will meet a need when God gives a work. And when he gives a work, he'll meet the need of grace, and his people will be the ones that meet it. Now, can he put it on somebody's heart? He's done it 1,000 times in time's history, because he owns it all, right?
Amen.
Even what the Gentile has, even what the ungodly. That's what when he says the Gentile, he's simply saying those that don't belong to the church. That they didn't ask people of the world to give this, because these people that he's talking to are among Gentiles. In a Gentile world. And he's just simply saying they didn't ask the people of the nations to give them things to do it. They're going from place to place, and the brethren are supporting them. And you'll do well if you'll support that message that's worthy of God, You'll support these messengers that are worthy of God. And you'll support this mission that is worthy of God. You'll be co-laborers, fellow workers with them. And remember, a kingdom-minded person always has fruit on their mind. Amen. Amen. Knowing that, hey, this what we just did, how we blessed them and encouraged them and sent them on their way, we'll have fruit among them eternally. Come on. God bless them. Now, what they do and how they use it down the road, they will be held accountable. But our responsibility is to love on them, to lead them, to encourage them, to equip them, to keep doing the work God set them apart to do. Amen. And that's among all of us. That's what we do. That's why we gather. We're supporting the brethren to do the mission that God has called us to do. And we don't need the world's help to get it done.
Come on.
Are you with me? So, now, that's not to say that God wouldn't use, and he's done that at times before when people just didn't know what they were. They just felt compelled to give and to be part of. There's been testimony after testimony where ungodly people gave land and gave buildings and gave resources to people that were doing God's work. But the people never asked them for it. If they was going to buy it, they was going to buy it with resources God gave them. But they didn't ask somebody to give them anything. But that doesn't mean God can't change that person's heart. And he said, well, look, I know you was going to buy it, but I want to give it to you. That's happened often. And he still does that.
Amen.
And he can.